You're listening to the Food Nation Radio Network with Elizabeth Doherty. This is not your typical food show. We're talking about the politics of food, the corruption of our food supply, and what you can do to stand and fight back. Download the TuneIn app for your smartphone and call your local station to ask that they carry the Food Nation Radio Network with Elizabeth Doherty. Now, once again, here's Elizabeth.
Here's what I'll do as president. I'll immediately implement country of origin labeling because Americans should know where their food comes from. We'll let folks know whether their food has been genetically modified because Americans should know what they're buying. We'll let folks know whether their food has been genetically modified because Americans should know what they're buying.
Hey everybody, we're back. This is the Food Nation Radio Network. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. We have Dave Murphy on the studio line. He's the founder and executive director of Food Democracy Now. Welcome to the show.
Hey Elizabeth, pleasure to be here on Food Nation Radio Network.
In 2007, you organized the Food and Family Farm Presidential Summit, where then-candidate Obama promised to label GMOs. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. It's almost ancient times now in 2007. It was when Senator Obama was coming through Iowa, campaigning for president. Obviously, most people didn't think he was going to win. But I organized an event for Iowa Farmers Union, and five of the six Democratic candidates came to speak there. And 3 weeks prior to that, I had talked to Obama's ag advisor, and they had a situation where Hillary Clinton was walking into a Monsanto's law firm in D.C. to have a fundraiser called Rural Americans for Hillary, and they were curious how this situation would play out in Iowa, especially among farmers. Since I worked for farmers and with farmers, I knew that there was a lot of conventional and sustainable agricultural farms in Iowa where the farmers actually support GMO labeling. And I convinced them that labeling was a reasonable and common sense thing. 3 weeks later, to my surprise, then Senator Barack Obama said that to a live audience of 400 commodity Iowa farm, corn and soybean farmers. So it's pretty remarkable. I got it on videotape, and then we've sent it out there to the world in 2011.
Everyone is talking about the genetically modified Roundup resistant wheat that was found in Oregon. What's the update on that?
Well, yeah, last week there was a farm in Oregon that was discovered. It was announced, actually. I mean, it was previously discovered. The USDA has known about it for some time. But basically, a wheat farmer found that he was spraying his wheat with Roundup as a burn-down agent to clear his field, and that there was some wheat that kept remaining in it, and they couldn't kill it. So they sent it to a test lab in Oregon and in Oregon State, and then they found that it contained Monsanto's Roundup Ready gene, which has not been grown. Ironically, this is a variety of wheat, and GMO wheat was never approved for commercial sales here in the U.S. Basically, wheat farmers rejected it because they were fear of a collapse of export markets because right. A lot of Europe and Japan and Asia does not want, especially GMO wheat, for its direct human consumption. So unbeknownst to the rest of the world, this wheat has been growing in this farmer's field, and it was just discovered this year. But it has not been, ironically, I mean, the strange thing is this strain of wheat has not been grown in Oregon for 12 years. And somehow today, last week it was announced that they had discovered it. It's a bit alarming, but I think it proves one of the main criticisms of this technology, that it's an uncontrollable and flawed technology because their patented genes can escape from a field and blow over a farmer's field, the fence of a farmer's field, and contaminate other farmers' crops. And this is exactly what's happened.
Based upon that single incident, several countries did try to cancel their orders of wheat shipments from the U.S. and or have started testing the wheat that's coming into their countries.
Yeah, Japan and South Korea both canceled grain shipments of wheat coming out of the West, and they're concerned about it. And I think wheat farmers, the real thing is this is also a catastrophe for wheat farmers. They are doing their best to earn a living for their families and grow food for the American people and for the for the world. And Monsanto has unleashed, again, what I call a flawed technology, and into the wild, and they can't recall it. And so these genes are somehow in a farmer's field 12 years after they were last planted. And I think this is not only a wake-up call for the American farmer, but also for the federal government. They can no longer mess around with our food supply and pretend there aren't consequences from biotechnology.
I know that half the states now have GM labeling bills on the table right now or have had one. Maine and Connecticut have passed their bills, but those bills are not without concerns.
You're right. 26 states have introduced legislation this year. we have a ballot initiative. Washington State has a ballot initiative in November. And I think over 50 bills relating to genetic engineering have been introduced in state capitals across the country. And 2 weeks ago, Connecticut passed. And this week, last week, Connecticut passed. And then Maine passed this week. I've been on the road for 2 weeks. We actually, my partner and I, Lisa, I was in Seattle for a meeting on Washington State's ballot initiative, right, and flew to Connecticut to help them celebrate the passing of that bill. And like you say, there's trigger clauses that are, so they're the first bills that have passed, but these states were both very fearful that Monsanto, the biotech industry, would immediately sue them.
Right.
And that's exactly what they tried to do last year.
Yeah.
Last year, Vermont and Connecticut, state capitals, both had bills very far in advance. And the members of the House and Senate were trying to get them to 4 votes. What happened is that both times at the 11th hour, Monsanto and biotech lobbyists flew into the state capitals, met with each governor and their speaker of the House, and they said, listen, we're going to sue you if you pass these bills, so you better not do it. These, you know, states are in hard economic times, and they don't want to have a multimillion dollar lawsuit against them, especially when they're not even sure whether they can win it.
Washington State is now on the table as well. How does that look?
Listen, I think it looks great. Prop 37 failed to pass last year. I was actually the co-chair of Prop 37 and worked with, you know, dozens of businesses and nonprofits to try to get that passed. Mm-hmm. Ironically, it failed. As you know, the biotech industry pulled out their big guns, and the junk food companies spent $46 million to do the Chennai Californians, their right to know. We lost by 353,000 votes, but I'll just say the situation in Washington State is set up a lot better. The movement, a lot of people thought if we lost in California, it would be a fatal blow to the movement, but it's just exploded. People were outraged as they watched Monsanto pour $8.1 million into this California race. Absolutely outraged. And so in Washington State, there's a much better scenario because wheat farmers, apple farmers, and salmon and fishermen are really concerned about the pending approvals of GMO apples, uh-huh, GMO salmon, and now with this wheat contamination. Monsanto has basically, they shelved their GMO wheat approval in 2005, uh-huh, but in the last several years, they've been talking about bringing it back. I think this contamination event in Oregon, will have a big play of how Eastern Washington and farmers in Eastern Washington vote reasonable common sense labeling bill.
What about the farm bill that was finally passed, but it contains an amendment called the King Amendment? Some say that might limit states' ability to label GMOs because of interstate commerce.
Well, yeah, two things. The farm bill, which is, you know, typically a boondoggle for agribusiness almost every time, and another amendment that was introduced by Senator Merkley from Oregon was to try to repeal the Monsanto Protection Act.
Right.
And I'll just real quickly talk about that. That was a provision that was snuck into the continuing resolution and passed the House and Senate in March, signed into law in March. Basically, it protects Monsanto's GMO crops while they're under, you know, they're saying that, you know, the Secretary of Agriculture must approve them if a company asks them to, or a farmer asks to be approved, even if a court of law is currently reviewing the status to prove whether they're not harmful to the environment. So that was an amendment that failed to get to the floor vote. It was blocked by our good Monsanto's good friend, I should say, in Missouri, Roy Blunt, and then also Thad Cochran, which is pretty tragic. But then the King Amendment, ironically, I'm speaking about the King, Steve King, which I live in Clear Lake, Iowa, and because of redistricting, Steve King is now my representative. And that is a terrible cross that we have to bear here for democracy now. But I'll just mention, the King Amendment was introduced last year, and what it was done, Iowa happens to be one of the largest factory farm growing state for hogs and eggs.
Uh-huh.
And so Steve King has put an amendment into the farm bill, the House Farm Bill, to try to not allow states to create different standards for factory farms, you know, so smaller. So in California, they passed Prop 2. I think that was in 2010. What that Proposition 2, what that did is it increased the size of eggling cages and got rid of gestation crates and tried to have larger sizes of, you know, cages for these for animals that are factory farms.
Yeah.
Obviously, Steve King is carrying the factory farm industry's water here, And it's been, the bill is really trying to make it so on production and manufacture of agricultural goods or products, individual states aren't allowed to adopt different standards that would impose a barrier, what Steve King is arguing, a barrier to interstate commerce. But the problem that most every lawyer that's looked at this states that it violates an existing 150 state laws on food and agricultural products already. And the thing is, some people have said that it could possibly impact state labeling, depending on how it's interpreted. And, you know, I mean, I think that that's a very broad interpretation of the King Amendment. Mm-hmm. But then saying that with Monsanto's lawyers and how easily our judges are, it seems that we really can't approach on that.
Bottom line, people do want to know where their food comes from, and they have a right to know what they're eating, and they want to know if it's been genetically modified, so we're going to continue this process.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we're going to have mandatory state and federal labeling here by the end of 2014. You know, our movement is on a march across this country to regain our basic right to know what's in our food and to take back the rights that we lost when agribusiness and biotech companies like Monsanto rigged the rules in 1992. When they snuck in a former Monsanto attorney into the FDA and wrote the rules, the FDA rules and regulations that declared that genetically engineered crops were the same or substantially equivalent to traditionally bred crops. So we're fighting for GMO labeling. We're going to win.
Yeah, I do think we're going to win, and I congratulate you on your efforts. And I think down the road, if they try to fight these state labeling bills, they're going to face being sued over public safety issues. And I think they'd be better off going along with the state labeling bills and just letting it go at that, because this is going to get worse for companies like Monsanto. That's just my opinion, but I really appreciate your time. Dave Murphy, founder and executive director of Food Democracy Now. Can you tell me what your website is so people can visit you and see all the campaigns you're working on?
Sure. Thanks, Elizabeth. Yeah, it's fooddemocracynow.org. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. It's a pleasure to be on.
Thanks, Dave. You've been listening to the award-winning Food Nation Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Did you miss any part of the show? Listen anytime at businesstalkradio.net and click podcasts. And be sure to follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Food Nation Radio. Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern for Food Nation Radio on the Business Talk Radio Network. This is the Food Nation Radio Network with Elizabeth Doherty.